Can politics overtake the courts? This week, we are seeing a set of races between the federal court system to raise or settle legal issues that politicians are also trying to raise or settle. In Texas, politicians are trying new ways to restrict abortion. A federal district court struck down provisions of a new anti-abortion law, but the appeals court reinstated measures requiring doctors performing abortions to have admitting privileges at hospitals within 30 miles of a clinic. But in New York City, a campaign issue in the New York City mayor's race between Republican Joe Lota and Democrat Bill de Blasio is also in the courts. A federal appeals court has reversed a ruling that declared the so-called stop-and-frisk practices of the police in New York City unconstitutional. But the mayor's race may overtake the courts on stop-and-frisk. In both of these cases, New York City and Texas, constitutional issues may be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. With us now in the studio to discuss these rulings is Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst for The New Yorker. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Good to be with you.
So these decisions that we're going to talk about here, one, you know, at the state level, the federal government or the federal appeals court really objecting to certain aspects of the controversial Texas abortion law, which is a new twist on the abortion fight. How do you see this?
Well, in 2010, after the big Republican landslides in so many states, one of the first things many states did was tighten abortion laws all over the country. Texas, perhaps most prominently because of the famous Wendy Davis filibuster, but not in Texas alone. And all of those laws are now starting to be tested in the courts. And what it really means is that the Supreme Court is going to have to address abortion again after about a decade of silence on the issue, sorting out whether these laws are constitutional or not.
And in the Texas case, it's not so much about abortion, even though that's the issue underlying it. It's the question of whether the state has the authority to dictate medical policy of doctors regarding their admitting practices or privileges at hospitals, that sort of thing.
Right. No one should be under any misimpression about the purpose
Sure.
of these laws. The purpose of these laws is to make it more and more difficult for abortion providers to function. And the ostensible purpose of the law is patient safety, is that they say, we want to have doctors have admitting privileges nearby so if anything goes wrong in an abortion, they can bring the person to the hospital. I mean, it's a transparent attempt to discourage the provision of abortions. But the Texas appeals court said, if Texas wants to do this, Texas can do it. And the legal question is, does that provide an undue burden? That's the legal term of art on the right to abortion. And, you know, the Supreme Court's going to have to answer that.
And the idea that, you know, if you drop down in the street with a heart attack in the same community, you get to go to a hospital without any problem. I mean, the idea that if somebody has a health problem, they can't get into a hospital is sort of absurd on one level, and that's sort of where the Supreme Court is going to have to weigh in here.
Right. The whole notion of admitting privileges is kind of an antique idea in hospital parlance. If you have an emergency, you can go to the hospital, period, whether the doctor has admitting privileges or not. But this was a barrier placed in the way of abortion providers. And the Fifth Circuit, which is the appeals court that upheld it, is known as a very conservative court. The question, as so often is what does Anthony Kennedy think? Because he is very likely to be the swing vote here, and his views on abortion are, at this point, rather mysterious.
Well, even more mysterious, what's Anthony Kennedy or anyone else on the Supreme Court likely to think about the case in New York? The stop-and-frisk policy has been so controversial here. It's also been so effective, at least according to the people who support its community policing kinds of implications. Stop-and-frisk seems to be a much more broad constitutional principle here. If the federal appeals court sends this forward to the Supreme Court, what do you think?
Well, I think the New York situation is very different because the politics are different. Bill de Blasio is about to become mayor. He has built his campaign around changing stop and frisk. I don't see any way that once de Blasio is in charge of the city, he doesn't settle this case and make it go away. He is going to change the underlying policies, which I think will render this lawsuit pretty much moot.
But on the question of stop and frisk, even if the New York case goes away because of de Blasio, Won't this be revisited by law enforcement, and won't ultimately the Supreme Court have to take a look at the question of being able to stop and frisk people for the kinds of suspicions that were the protocol in New York?
You know, the whole idea of stop and frisk comes out of a Supreme Court decision from 1968, Terry versus Ohio. These stops in the legal world are known even to this day as Terry stops, because they are stops of people that you have some suspicion of, but not enough suspicion to arrest in that gray area. The Supreme Court has said over and over again that it's okay to stop people in those circumstances. What's so different about the New York situation was the scale on which this was done, on how many people were stopped. And it is going to be interesting whether any of these cases get to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has to evaluate the policy as a whole. My guess, knowing how conservative this current court is, they are likely to approve it if it gets to them. They are likely to say this is within the cop's discretion. And I think the check on this kind of police behavior is really going to be much more political than legal. And that's what we saw in this campaign here in New York, was that Bill de Blasio said, I am going to stop this as mayor, and he got a very responsive reaction from a lot of voters who thought this was, as successful as the cops have been here in reducing crime, this was too far.
Does the Supreme Court look at something like that, where an electoral mandate obviously indicates that citizens don't like this sort of thing, or is it purely a legal matter?
The Supreme Court says they deal with things as purely legal matters. They are also very savvy individuals who understand the politics of what they're doing, and they know that these events don't take place in a vacuum, and I think they rule accordingly.
Jeffrey Toobin, legal analyst for The New Yorker, thanks so much.
Good to be with you.